Thank you. I thought I heard you say Psalm 1. Psalm 46, verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And everybody say, Selah. I want to preach for a few moments today from this sermon titled, The River. Or if you're from Kentucky, The River. Look at your neighbor and say, The River. Praise God. Praise God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Praise the Lord. Well, I was praying this week, and we've just been in an unprecedented season of insight and revelation. And after 2 years of preaching and teaching on prayer, and after 2 years of concentrated, focused, consistent, persistent group prayer day in and day out, I feel like that we have only begun to scratch the surface on what God wants to do, on what God wants to show us and tell us and teach us. And I think that I'm hungrier right now and thirstier than maybe I have been through this whole process and season of revival that we have entered into. And so I'm praying, God, teach me. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. Your ways are above my ways. Tell me your thoughts and show me your ways. And you said you would show us amazing and mysterious things that we have not known. Paul said when we would speak in tongues that we would speak to God, that we would speak mysteries to God, or that He would speak mysteries into our spirit and into our soul. And I'm a voracious learner and a rabid researcher, and I launched off on this thing called prayer, trying to research and learn everything I can, and get in communication and connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus died on Calvary to rip the veil in two, to rip it apart, and to open up a new and living way. And I don't want to stand outside the door when Jesus threw it open wide and said, come on in to the throne room of heaven. But I'm hungry to know more about what God is doing and what I should be doing and how that I can yield myself to Him and let Him work through me and in my life. And it's been a joy to see God do just exactly that. And I can be in a casual conversation with someone or an official conversation with someone, and it's like God just in just a few moments of conversation, God will lay something on my heart and I will speak it out to them. And you can just feel the Spirit of God is working in our church and through our people. And it's a beauty to be a part and a wonder to be a part of it. And so I was praying, God, what is the secret to tying the church together? I've been praying for weeks and months about mobilizing and organizing the church to grow and become all that it is meant to be, and that all that it could become, and so frustrated at the obstacles and the intermissions and the pauses and the delays in what should have been decades ago, an outpouring unprecedented in Fairfield, Illinois. So frustrating. But I'm learning that when you go into prayer, you don't tippy-toe around the tulips and you don't play ring around the rosy with God. If you're frustrated about something, then you take it into the prayer closet. And if God doesn't show it to you or you're not listening good enough, you take it into the prayer closet again. And you take it into the prayer closet again and again and again and again. We God is speaking, and I've been praying like this for a while, and I was just praying the other day, God, I don't have the answers. I don't know. What is the secret to a growing church? What is the secret that ties all the disparate pieces of the church together? And then I heard the sweet voice of Jesus. There's nothing like hearing the sweet voice of Jesus breathe a word from God into your soul. And he just said, there is a river. Hallelujah. And I was just like, oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a revelation. It's an understanding. If I could just wrap my mind around what you just said. Three words. Remember, I preached not too long ago. Five words. Hallelujah. Sometimes God can get it done in three words. How does a church grow? How do you hold it together in all of its disparate ministries and pieces and parts? And the Lord just spoke this week and he said, there is a river. That's four words. There is a river. Everybody say that. There is a river. Streams may clad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Hallelujah. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. There is a climate change that has gripped the whole of this planet. There is a climate change and shifting that has gripped the whole of the church. And the rivers and the streams that used to nourish the fields of our souls and nourish our hearts with the Word of God, and the glacial melts and the rains that were predictable have dried up, and the heat and the spiritual battle is heating up in the spiritual realm, and it's drying up all of the reservoirs, and the glaciers are shrinking and becoming non-existent, and the churches and the habits and the ways that we have sought God in the past, and the things that nourished our spirits in the past. I hope you can get yourself ready today and get yourself for a moment ready to hear a word from God. Amen. They're no longer available and there for us to access. And so something is going to have to change. Elijah, the Bible said that he went and he ran out into the wilderness and that he sat by a brook and there he took a nap. The ravens came and brought him food to eat and he drank water. Hallelujah. But the Bible says the drought began to wear on and the river dried up. Come on, somebody. Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years. And they had been sipping, amen, the sweet waters of the Nile River all of those centuries. But God called them out of Egypt and brought them to the Red Sea and threw them out into the wilderness. And when they got in the wilderness, there wasn't anything but bitter waters to drink. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah, amen. There is a way that things used to be done and an expectation in our culture and society. You can throw up a tent. You look at all the tent revivals going on in our area. You see the same thing. Ain't nobody under the tent. They're empty. People don't go to tent revivals anymore. People don't go to revivals anymore. People don't respond to God like they used to. The times have changed. The spiritual climate has shifted. And things that we used to be able to access in the spiritual kingdom have dried up. And the church has gotten thirsty. How do we get in contact with God? How do we experience God? God has got to do different things in different times and different seasons. And this is a different season of the church. And it's time for us, amen, to buck up and to bear up and to call upon God. And they cried out to Moses in the us out here to die of thirst. Hallelujah. But God spoke to Moses and he said, take your staff and hit the rock. Smack the rock with your walking stick. And the Bible says that water flowed out of the rock. The Apostle Paul said they drank from the rock, and that rock was Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come day and time when it would be easy just to come to a revival tent meeting or a visiting evangelist. Play the right songs, hit the right chords, amen, and blend the right harmonies. Preach the right scriptures and shout and jump just the right way with the perfect vocal inflections. And people would come running to the altars. Hallelujah. But nowadays you preach and you preach and you sing and you sing and nothing changes and nothing happens. We are a thirsty people. Hallelujah. The climate is shifting. And the way that God is speaking to the church in this hour, amen, there is a river, the streams whereof, amen, that make the city of God glad. There is a moving of God. There is still water. There is still supply. But we have to adjust ourselves to what God is doing. Sometimes God wants to do things that we don't want to do. Sometimes God wants to change things up. Sometimes God needs us to move to a different area. He told the Jews in Jerusalem, you take this word, when you receive the promise of the Father, you take this word to Jerusalem and to Judea. You take it to Samaria. You take it to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the Bible says they just kept gathering daily. Amen. In Solomon's colonnade, they just kept gathering daily from house to house. That wasn't what God wanted. Amen. So he caused there to be a shifting and a changing of how the river flowed, when the rains fell down, and how he was working. And the Bible says there came a great persecution upon the people of God in Jerusalem, and God scattered them everywhere. And wherever they went, they went preaching the name of Jesus and the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Paul writes the book of Romans because they find out after the fact that God has already started a church in Rome long before any apostles got up there to preach the message. God's got his own ways of doing things. I was watching a video from the Himalayan mountains in India. And the climate change that is happening right now is got their glaciers so shrunk and reduced that they're way, way, way far up in the mountains beyond where they have all built all their traditional villages. They live in a mountain desert area. They depend upon the glacial melt to come down and feed their crops and their trees and such. But instead of that, they're getting floods, and then they're getting droughts. And there is a professor that had an idea, and they had these religious... basically, his idea was just physics. And it was a simple idea. And they have these religious temples, these Buddhist temples that they worship at there. And he got an idea, and he put a hose in the winter time because that drought hits them in between the glacial melt in the summer and the end of winter. There's a dry spell there that they're suffering with, and he thought all of this water is going through the area in the winter is going to waste, and we're unable to collect it. And so they put a hose in the glacial melt that was coming during the winter. And using physics, he went down the mountain far enough into the villages where people would plant their crops and their trees and their fruit trees and such. and then he put the hose up a pole so that it would be just a little bit lower than where they were drawing the water from. And then the water would come down through gravity flow and squirt out the top of the hose, and it would hit those freezing temperatures, and the water would fall down on this little, they call it a stupa, they call it an ice stupa, but it looks kind of, when it's done, and physics and the weather has had its impact, it looks like some type of a Buddhist temple. And so the water shoots out the top, and when it hits the ground, it freezes, and slowly but surely it builds up over the winter, until at the end of the winter they have created their own man-made iceberg. And then when that little season in the springtime, before the rains and before the real glacier melt starts, when they really need that water the most, the weather will be just warm enough to melt off that man-made glacier and feed what they have. What am I saying today? River, the river is the center of the life of the world. The river is the center of life of the world. Everything revolves around it. We drink our water from the Little Wabash River. You ought to thank God you drink water from the Little Wabash River. The next time you feel like complaining about drinking water from the Little Wabash River, you need to run over to Mount Vernon and get you a nice ice water with lemon from the restaurant over there and drink the Rim Lake water. How many of you know what Rim Lake water tastes like? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It tastes like D-I-R-T. You can almost feel the dirt grinding between your teeth when you eat it or when you drink it. The river is the center of life. Life cannot exist without fresh water.
Hallelujah.
Bob said in Revelation, and the cultures are built around the river, and they evolve, and they build the cultures around the river. Any major city's got to have a water supply running into it, so to keep the people nourished and to do whatever needs to be done, daily needs as well as raising. There's got to be water. Without water, we cannot survive. Without water, we cannot thrive. And so we as a human race and in our cultures have built our cities and our lives around the water supplies. Amen. And I believe this is what we're talking about today. There is a holy water supply. There is a divine supply of holy H2O nourishment in the Spirit of God. In Revelation 22, it said there's a river that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 47, it talks about the tabernacle of God and how water seeps out underneath the doors of it, coming out of the temple of God, and it seeps out going down to the south, and it seeps out going out to the north, east, south, heading all directions in the west. And as the water goes, then you can kind of stumble around in it like a puddle, Ezekiel said, but the further away the water got from the tabernacle of God, His holy tabernacle in heaven, the water began to build up and get thicker the further away from the fountainhead it went, the deeper it got, and then it got deeper so that you could walk in it up to your ankles, and then He said it got deeper where you could walk in it up to your thighs, then pretty soon it was up to your chest, and He said then pretty soon the river that was coming out of the tabernacle of God was so deep that you could, it was waters to swim in, that there was no way to get to the other side of it. I want to tell you something, church, today, without belaboring the point any further. Amen. The thing that is going to give life to the church in this hour, the thing that is going to hold the church together, amen, it is the river of the Spirit of the living God that flows in our souls. Hallelujah. It's not the music and worship team that's going to cause revival. They're just tributary streams. Amen. But it is the flow
of the Spirit of the living God. It's not the preaching, amen, that's going to bring revival. That's just a feeder stream. But it is the river of the living waters of God that flow in our souls. It's not a prayer meeting. It's not a Sunday school class. It's not a series of meetings we call revival. But it is the power, the Spirit of the living God. Jesus cried out, amen, on the day of the feast, if anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Amen. Out of his waters will flow, out of his belly, Jesus said, will flow rivers of living water. And the Lord spoke to me last week, amen, when I asked him, how are we going to grow a church in Fairfield? And he said to me, there is a river. Hallelujah, church. Amen. We need to build our houses around the river, amen, that flows from the throne of God. Hallelujah. Our ministries need to flow, amen, out of our bellies like rivers of living water. Jesus, Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the church. He said there are many parts, there are many members to the body, but there is only one Spirit. There is only one river, and that is the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
And so what's going to make this thing go, and what's going to make this thing successful, and what's going to make this church grow, is how well positioned you are around the river of the Spirit. Hallelujah. How well positioned you are around the river of His Spirit. Because without it, everything will dry up. Without it, the economy will dry up. Without it, the crops will dry up. Without it, our souls will become dehydrated and famished, and we will perish. We have got to build ourselves around the river of the living Spirit of God that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb in heaven.
Amen.
Some of us have built our lives around our jobs and our careers, and we've got that backwards. Your job and your career needs to flow out of the river of living water. It needs to be connected to the source and to the supply. We need to be close enough so we can irrigate our families, our marriages, our parenting, our schooling, our jobs, our neighborhoods need to be connected. When you walk into your neighborhood, amen, you bring in with you an irrigation channel of the Holy Ghost that flows into your neighborhood. And when they look at your house, amen, your lawn is green. Well, it may not be right now, but you know what I mean. Amen, there is something going on at the house down there on Highland Avenue. There's something going on over there on King Street. There's something out there on Leroy. Trees are growing, looking nice over there. Amen. There's some water there, and people are attracted to what is happening around the river of God's Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
And it's changing, shifting. The river is winding and winding its way through the countryside, and it's waxing and it's waning. God says to the church today, what is going to bind us together and cause us to have great success in this hour of the church is our ability to build our lives and connect ourselves and reconnect ourselves to the stream of the river of God's Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Carnal mind is enmity against God, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. We've built things that pollute the river. We've built things that poison the waters. We have
allow things into our homes and into our lives and into our minds, and we've allowed the accusations and the lies of the devil to proliferate inside of us, and the waters have become putrid and they have become dangerous to partake of, and in some times it's even dangerous, they say, on some rivers and bodies of water. Brother Jason, it's dangerous to even eat the fish out of the water. They say, don't eat the fish out of the water. They've got PCBs in them and other types of things that'll make you sick. How sad is it that the church, amen, has possession and access to the location and the resources of the living water of heaven, but is allowing it to become polluted and poisoned and no longer valuable as it should be and as it could be. We need to take a second look at where we are in our walk with God. We need to take a second look at what we allow to influence and drive us. And we need to get to a place where we don't depend on our personality quirks and fluctuations to bring us answers, but we're depending upon the will of the Spirit of the living God. Where we're no longer dependent on our intelligence or our personal capabilities or talents or skills to get us where we need to be. But we need to get back to that place, amen, where we carve ourselves a dugout from a healthy tree and we push it out into the water and get our handmade oars and we begin to let the river of the living waters of God carry us where we need to go. For too long, church, amen, we've just neglected, amen, our river society. For too long we've neglected and let things go, and we've introduced pathogens and foreign species to the original intentions of God. It's time to clean out the river. It's time to dredge it down, amen. It's time to let clean and pure waters of the Holy Spirit flow in our souls once again. What am I going to do with my husband? I'll tell you what you're going to do with him. You're going to get into the presence of the Lord in your prayer closet, and you are going to hold him up before God. In the name of Jesus, you're going to pray that the Lord gets a hold of his heart, that the Lord pulls him back out of the fire and the mess that he's in. What am I going to do with my wife? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get into your prayer closet and in the privacy of your alone time with God. And in the name of Jesus, you're going to bring your wife before God, and you're going to call on his name, and you're going to overshadow her soul and her mind, amen, with powerful prayers, amen. When you walk into her presence, hallelujah, you have been praying, amen, you have been interceding, you have been holding your love. The problem with a lot of people is, amen, they have got waters from dry and nasty cisterns. They've got old prayers that they prayed decades ago, but they haven't been in communion with the fresh presence of God in a long time. And they're just the same old, they're like mockingbirds. They're like parakeets or parrots. They just say the same things that they've heard over and over and repeat the same problems over and over. It's time that some of us get back into the stream and the river of God's presence and let him wash away the filth and the silt out of our souls. Amen. The selfishness and the egotism and the arrogance and the pride and the bitterness and the anger and the hatred and the lusting and all that darkness that climbs up and piles up in the eddies of our soul. And we need to let Jesus wash us clean in his love again and go back into those relationships that have been stagnant for too long.
Amen.
Come on. And let a fresh move of the Holy Ghost come into your marriage. How is that going to happen? You're going to get in the prayer closet and you are going to pray and beg and petition and supplicate and intercede and violently pray, and you are going to do that until God makes the difference and the change begins to happen. It's happening, amen, it's happening in my life. Sometimes we just get dry. We go through dry spells. We need to get back into the river and the stream where God is moving and flowing. Refreshing, feeding, quenching our thirst that was down in the depths. And if I'm in my prayer closet and I'm walking and swimming in that stream, and you're in your prayer closet and you're walking and you're swimming in that stream of the presence of the Lord, and you're, what's that song? Take the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go. And if you're in the prayer closet and you're in the prayer closet and you're in the prayer closet, what's going to happen is we're going to wind up finding that we're all in the exact same place. Because there are many members in the body, but there is only one Spirit. Praise God. And what happens when the river flows again out of our bellies? When the river flows again like it used to, like it should, it will bring healing to our life. The lies of the devil will creep away and be swept away. The cobwebs in our minds will be destroyed. Strongholds will come down. Let's stand together today. Jesus, we pray together right now that you would, as David said in his song, lead us beside the still water. Our bodies are tired and sometimes in pain, weak, perishing, passing away. But Jesus, you said, though the outward man is perishing, that the inner man could be renewed day by day. That we could have living waters springing up and flowing out of our belly like rushing rivers. And streams of glory and grace. Oh God, give us an awakening and the stirring. Am I poisoning the waters? Or am I reaping the benefits that they bring to me? Am I diverting its streams and calling them into my life, in my life and my activities, and am I being irrigated by the holy power of God? Or am I just running through fields that have become dust and powder? Oh Lord Jesus, you are like a pent-up stream driven by the wind. Let that stream flow through us as a church. Brother Philip said it when he was in the worship, that he senses there's a unity that is coming into effect. There is a gathering of the hearts and the minds of the people of God together. And this gathering is happening under the power and the influence of the river of the Holy Spirit of God. He's leading us all to the same place. While we may come from different tributaries and we may have different callings and ministries and different personalities and family groups, and we all have a different perspective on what is happening, but we all feed into the same river. And it grows and becomes a burgeoning, powerful, unstoppable force. It nourishes everywhere it goes and overcomes everything in its path. There is a river. It flows in the church of the living God. Out of its belly, it flows. It's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. Living, active, powerful in our lives right now, today. And I know that you're hot, and I know that you're tired, and I know that you're sleepy and weary and all of those things, but I'm telling you, church, I feel the presence of God. There's a difference between human emotion and feelings, and the feeling that you know that God is speaking and moving. climate has changed. The world has shifted. Things have moved. It's time for the river to wend its way into new directions. It's time for us, amen, maybe even to pull up stakes and to move closer to the river. To get inventive. Maybe even to create ice stupas and take advantage of what is where, when it is, and be able to collect it and gather it up so it's there for us when we need it. However, that God wants to move and He wants to work. It's time for us to get in the Spirit and let that river of God's presence flow in our lives. A mighty Amazon River, I believe that it outlets somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 million gallons of water. Into the Atlantic Ocean every minute. 25% of the fresh water that is poured into the oceans comes from the Amazon River. And it is fed by many other powerful rivers that are even in the top 5 and top 10 that are in the region of the Amazon, that feed the Amazon, that are even bigger than any rivers that are here in the United States of America. We've got to constantly be in motion. We've got to constantly be outputting spiritual power and authority and ministry. Jesus, let's pray together, church. Jesus, you know I want to just speak in tongues right now, and you know I just want to shout a little bit right now and just get excited. But I pray that you would let the people of God come in contact with this river again. Those that have fields that are dried up and burnt over, and those that have grown thirsty and dehydrated, and those that are still trying to do things the way that they used to do things, or the way things used to be, but are not able to make the adjustments and go where the Spirit is leading. I pray, God, that you would reconnect them and renew them in the Holy Spirit today. Reconnect them and renew them in the Holy Spirit today. Bring down every stronghold. Let a tsunami of the Holy Ghost sweep across and destroy all of the junk and garbage that has accumulated in their lives. And let the only thing remain standing are those things that are strong enough to handle and be beside. Oh Lord God, let us be like that man, that righteous man that is planted by the waters, that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever they do, prosper. Oh, as they sing together today, let's meditate upon this word. There is a river. We felt it in our worship today. We feel it in the preaching of the word. Can we feel it together right now before we leave? There is a river that is flowing in this house right now. Would you dip your toes in the stream? Would you cast your net and cast your rod in the stream? Would you put out your boat into the water today? Let its currents, let its resources provide for your soul and for your life. And let your ministry be renewed and your thirst be quenched.